got a flag that never loses power.
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. We thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood.
Yes.
That blood that will never lose its power.
Yes.
And we understand that the life of anything is in the blood.
Yes.
And because Jesus shed his blood,
yes,
we can have life.
Because
he give us his spirit.
Yes.
And it is the spirit that gives
yes
life.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Fired up already. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
To God be the glory.
Yes.
I do honor the Lord today.
Yes.
I honor my pastor, Pastor Davis, for giving me this opportunity to stand before you today. To my co-laborer in the gospel, Minister Riley, who's probably already stepped out. To all of you, saints of God, it's just good to be here today.
Yes, thank you.
Praise God.
And it's good to be able to stand to profess the word of God.
Amen.
You know, it's good to be able to open your mouth and lift you your voice to God. Because he said, come before my presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So it's something about singing that gets us in tune.
Yeah.
We can't all talk at the same time, but we can sing together.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you
for that song, The Blood. Interesting enough, we're going to be talking about the blood today. And that song was very fitting. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. Touch me, Lord Jesus, with thy finger of mercy. Let each throbbing heartbeat feel thy power divine.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Father, I thank you. I submit to you. Consecrate me right now, God, that I will speak your word, God. Even as I've heard you speak, God. Holy Ghost, I ask that you take control. Deliver this message as you see fit. I am willing to be used any way you see fit. God, your word declare, first there must be a willing mind. I thank you for a willing mind today, God. Use my mouth. Use my entire being to proclaim your word today, God. It is in the name of Jesus that I do ask this. And I thank you now, God, that it will be according to your will, according to your way. So just hide me way, way behind your cross. But cause your hearers, God, to hear what you are saying to them today as I speak your word. For your word is true. Your word is powerful. But the word is right for us. And I thank you now. I bless your name and I give you praise, God. It's in Jesus' name that I do ask. Amen. Amen. Well, there is a message from the Lord. It may just be for me. A few weeks ago, and as you know, I wasn't here last Sunday, but I received a word, and I thought that would be the word for today. But when I knew that I would be preaching today, I said, Lord, what will I preach about? It's Communion Sunday. So I need a communion message. So as I begin to ponder and meditate and go through the word, I truly believe that there is a word for you today. So I ask you to turn up your spiritual antennas that you can hear what the Spirit is saying to you today. Now you need to just get all the noise out the way. Give your full attention, not to me, but to the Spirit of God that will speak today. And I may as well go on and tell you in the outset that the title of this message is A Time to Remember Lest We Forget. Mm-hmm. A Time to Remember Lest We Forget. Now you heard the scripture that was read. It was an account of the Lord's Supper according to Matthew. But my text actually is going to come from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. But before we get there, I just want to say a few things to you. Sort of set it up. However, the Holy Ghost wants to do this thing. So I'm going to start out by asking you a question. Have you ever wondered why we do certain things? I know I did. Now, since I'm going to be talking about some meals, I'm just going to make it very simple. I used to wonder why we had black-eyed peas and collard greens on New Year. I wonder why we had eggs at Easter time. Why did we have turkey at Thanksgiving and ham at Christmas? And on Sunday at our house, the Sunday meals, we had chicken, but on Sunday, our meals usually consisted of several vegetables. See, my daddy was a preacher and a farmer, so we had big gardens, so we would have several vegetables, at least two meats, and you're right, Pastor, when I was chicken, we'd have some special dessert, cake pie, or banana pudding, Pastor, yeah. And sometimes we would have homemade ice cream. Mm-hmm. But the Sunday meal was always different from our weekly meals. Yeah, some of you who are about my age, like Miss Evelyn here, back in the day, we had breakfast, dinner, and supper. Yeah. And we were told that breakfast was the most important meal, so we had to eat breakfast. Dinner was considered the main or the largest meal of the day. Now, whether it took place at noon or evening was a cultural thing. Now, I know for us dinner out there in the country on the farm, dinner, lunchtime was considered dinner time. What you gonna have for dinner? Well, it's time to stop, it's dinner time. So now, you know, whether dinner was at noon or evening may be different based on your culture. But a lot of people that grew up in the South usually had their largest meal at noontime. So they had to go back to work, so they had to be fed. Supper was a lighter evening meal, and that also, I think, came from the farming tradition. Now we have breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, and dinner. Too much food. Too much food. But, Pastor, I want to know what happened to supper? What happened to supper? I need to tell you that supper is still relevant today. Mm-hmm. In fact, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. Mm-hmm. Thank God for the blood that we are able to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Mm-hmm. Now, we all know that a meal is any eating occasion taking place at a certain time. Some of us like to have our meals at, where are Evelyn? Outback, Golden Corral, some other place. Somebody that I know like to go to Ruby Tuesday. But I'm not talking so much about that kind of meal. As I begin to examine the scripture, there are at least three meals that I will speak about. And the last one, the Lord's Supper, has a lot of implication for us. Are you with me?
Amen.
So let's start out in the very beginning, in the book of beginnings, and talk about meal number one. Now, most of you are familiar with the story in the book of Genesis, so I'm just going to go through it very quickly. I'm going to call meal one the forbidden fruit. And you can find this in Genesis chapter 2. And as I say, from a child up, I knew about the story. Most of you do. But the word of God say, God formed man to Adam of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and he became a living soul. A living soul. Now that's going to be important because we're going to soon learn what happened to Adam, the living soul. God planted a garden eastward in Eden and put the man that he had formed in the garden. I believe that it was a beautiful garden. I believe it was an amazing garden. I believe that garden had all kinds of fruit trees, had a whole lot of vegetables, and maybe some herbs. But unlike the summer, I can only imagine. I can only imagine since my garden, and I am a gardener, have some beans, squash, okra, eggplant, cucumbers, peppers, little herb, basil, rolling mint. Only got two fruit trees, a peach and a pear. All the rest of them died. But the word of God tells us that God made to grow every tree that is what? Pleasant to the sight. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And he said it was good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Are you with me?
Amen.
We know the story, right? I want you to be aware that when God commanded Adam, the man, Eve, the woman, is not yet present. See, sometimes we get it twisted. We said Adam caused the problem. Oh, we want to blame the man. And then somebody said, well, they did this and they did that. Well, as the word of God tells us in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, you shall surely die. Now remember, Adam is a living soul. Eve is not yet. So God, when he made Adam, he made him first, the man. Yeah. But the Bible tells us exactly what happened as we look in the book of Genesis. So Eve was not there when God gave the commandment to Adam. She wasn't there. God told Adam that if you eat of the tree of good knowledge, you will surely die. When God said through Ezekiel that the soul that sinned shall die, he meant just that. The same principle is restated in the New Testament as well. James 1 and 15 said the wages of sin is death. When we think about death, death is always a separation, if you will. When we die physically, the spirit and body is separated. When we die spiritually, we're separated from God. So how in the world we are spiritually dead, how will we be reconciled back to God? Thank God for Jesus.
Yeah.
But before we move to that point, let me just tell you what God did. Remember I said the woman is not there yet. Genesis 2, 21 to 22 said, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. God is almighty surgeon. He's an almighty surgeon. He operated without anesthesia. Closed up the man without any stitches. So that lets me know that God is almighty. He's all knowing. And he can do whatever he wants to do. Not by the wisdom of man, but by godly wisdom, because he's God. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man, made he woman, and he brought her unto the man. So now Eve is on scene. So what do you think or who do you think was snooping around to deceive when God brought Eve to the man? Can I hear a name?
Satan.
Satan, you're right. And guess what? This is what followed. Eve now has a conversation with Satan. She had been entertaining him. Somebody said, don't entertain the devil, don't let him ride, because if he ride, he'll want to drive.
Yes. Amen.
But we can talk about it, but we don't need to be engaging in conversation with him, because he got a whole lot of tricks. But in his cunning and crafty and deceptive way, he lures Eve to partake of the forbidden fruit.
Yes.
Adam was right there with them.
Yes.
Complicit to the whole thing. Yes. They partook of the forbidden fruit.
Yes, yes.
The Bible said Adam was not deceived. In other words, he just disobeyed the command.
Yes.
But Eve, being deceived, was in the transgression. Now, what you say, well, what does this have to do with what you're going to be talking about? So what happened to Adam? I said God made him a living soul. The soul that sin dies. So no longer is he a living soul. He's dead, separated from God. And the wages of sin is death. So what happens to us? Because of what that man did, we all come under and have the sin nature. So we are separated from God. So how do we get reconciled back to God? Thank God for Jesus. That as has sin reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by the only one, Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus. When we were dead in trespasses and sin, he died for us. He shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. So we need to thank God for Jesus. We thank God for the blood. And that blood will never lose its power. So we have here the first meal, eating the forbidden fruit. Let's move on to the second meal. The second meal is known as the Passover, or the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. You can find that in Exodus 12:1-14. Now, Jews had kept the Passover. It was instituted. That was the meal, that was a service that they had prior to their leaving Egypt. You can say this is the freedom meal. So we can say then that the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, commemorates the Exodus of Jews from slavery in Egypt. So the Jewish tradition state in their haste to escape from Egypt, they didn't take the time or they didn't have the time for the bread to rise. Anybody that make bread or make rolls know something about the dough rising. So they ate unleavened bread. And still today, when the Jews celebrated, they eat unleavened bread. So the Passover was instituted with specific instruction and was to be observed yearly. I'm talking about a time to remember. Sometimes we want to forget stuff in the past, but I call your attention today. It's a time to remember. Now I will paraphrase that about the Passover for the sake of time. The Lord told Moses to tell Israel, the whole congregation, to take a lamb without blemish, male of the first year, and it could come from the sheep or the goat. And they were to keep it for 14 days, kill it in the evening, take some of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and on the door posts of the houses where they were going to eat it. And this is what God wanted them to understand. He said, for I will pass over through the land of Egypt this night and will smite firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Both man and beast. Now you know about God sending all the plagues, telling Moses, tell people, let my people go. Well, God hardened Pharaoh's heart and Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He wouldn't let the people go. But God saw his people like God always see his people, and he always have a plan to bring about what he needs to do to free his people. So God began to say, after all the plagues, after all the things that Moses had done, Pharaoh still wouldn't let the people go. But God told me, if you don't let them go, I'm going to kill all the firstborn. So I don't know whether Pharaoh believed God or not, but God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will do it. Can I get a witness to
that? Amen.
God said, I'm going to execute judgment. I am the Lord. But he told his people, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, everybody say, when I see the blood.
When I see the
when
blood.
When I see the blood, he said, I'll pass over you.
Yes.
He said, this day shall be unto you a memorial. You shall keep it, and you shall keep it as a feast throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So, it lets me know that God still has some people that he got to free. Mm-hmm. We're not in Egypt, even though sometimes we act like we're Egypt. Sometimes we looking back and want to go back to Egypt. Yeah. I see Egypt as a place of sin.
Yeah.
In fact, when Moses got ready for the people and was leading them out, they started murmuring and complaining. Yeah. Did you bring us out here to die?
Yeah.
They got out there and was in trouble. They saw the Red Sea and here come the Egyptians, and they were murmuring against Moses.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't care how much murmuring and complaining we do. God always got a plan for his people.
Yes.
God always got a leader. Yeah. And I have to say this about leaders sometimes. Somebody used to say a leader can be no more effective than the group. Well, I found that not to be true, because a leader can be trying to lead the people out, and the people want to go back. Thank God for good leaders. Thank God for Moses. Diane, I know that's your man, but see, every year, God's people would gather for Passover, and see, Jesus, the Son of God, he was always going about his Father's business.
Yes.
And I said, he's exercising his PhD. He was preaching, he was healing, and he was delivering and fulfilling all that had been prophesied by him, all that had been promised, and everything that had been predicted. So in the Gospel of Matthew 26, Jesus says to his disciples, and let me read it what it says. He said, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. And the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Verse 18 and 19 said, and he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master said, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did just as Jesus told them to do. And they made ready the Passover. So now I want you to think about Passover freeing as a means of letting people know that they are getting ready to leave Egypt, exiting it out, and all the firstborn, man and beast, is going to be killed. But the people where the blood is, they are going to be spared. Because when God said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over. So they were eating this meal in haste, because by now, Pharaoh had got tired out of Moses. He said, get your stuff, get out here and go. So they didn't have time to make that bread. And eat it like, so they ate the unleavened bread. So this second one was the Passover meal, which is very significant. Now Jesus being a Jew, he was going to do the Passover. He came to fulfill stuff. So now I want to talk about meal number three. And I need to tarry your patience a little bit, because I need for you to go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Now, before I read the scripture, I need to tell you there was a lot of stuff going on at the church of Corinth. Them Corinthians were doing some of everything, as people would say, that they were big enough to do. And Paul is writing this first letter to them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, starting at the 23rd verse. Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. A time to remember, people of God, lest we forget. Mm-hmm. And after the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. The blood will never lose its power. This do, and as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Mm-hmm. Now, in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all give account of the Lord's Supper. But there's something not found in the gospel that is found in 1 Corinthians, verse 27. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily. Mm-hmm. Notice that didn't say unworthy. Mm-hmm. Unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But let a man examine himself, mm-hmm, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Mm-hmm. As I was looking at my little ritual, that's the ritual book when we do communion, I just want to read something to you. Mm-hmm. Now, and it says, and this is part of what we do in our ritual for Holy Communion, of when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we say. And it says, and although we may be unworthy, but thank God, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Mm-hmm. And though we may be unworthy through our manifold sin to offer unto thee any sacrifice, mm-hmm, yet we beseech thee to accept our bounden duty and service, not weighing our merits, but pardoning our offenses through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto the Father. So we be worthy because of what Jesus has done. But here Paul is giving us a warning. I want you to think about it. He's the one. Now, if you went somewhere and you saw a sign that read, warning, keep out, what you gonna do? You gonna keep out, right? Because there's a warning there for some reason. You don't know why, and you don't need to go and try to investigate. You just need to stay up. So Paul is saying here, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup, the bread representing his body, the cup representing his blood, whoever drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood. Listen up for the instruction. Paul don't leave us right there. He gives us an instruction. He said, but let a man, and he's not just talking about gender, but let a man examine himself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eat and drinketh damnation. Mm-hmm. Some say that's judgment. Some say in some instances could be destruction to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Mm-hmm. You may be wondering, like I used to wonder, why did we do this and why did we do that? So you may be wondering just now, what does it mean to partake in an unworthily manner? Well, number one, you might be disregarding the true meaning of the bread and Jesus just told us what we read. His body was broken for us. Yeah. His blood was shed for us. Without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. So if there was no other way, we are dead and separated from God. Mm-hmm. So unless Jesus came and gave his life, crucified, dead, and buried, and the third day he rose and got up with all power, we could not be reconciled back to God. So somebody had to say, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you for the blood. Yes.
Thank you.
That blood that will never lose its power. He shed his blood. So when we come to this table today, or before we come to the table, we need to do just what the word say. We need to take examination. Why do we need to do that? We take examination so that we don't have to be judged. Now, if we got the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will convict us. And one of the things that we like to do sometimes is hear the voice, but not obey the voice. But he said, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So as the Holy Spirit began to speak to you, you don't need for me, nor Pastor, nor Minister Ryan, any other preacher or teacher to convict you. The Holy Spirit will do that. Yes. And see, the Holy Spirit is not an embarrassing. He'll let you know what's going on. So he wants us to take self-examination because he wants us to understand the true meaning, the significance of the Lord's Supper that he had with his disciples. Sometimes we tend to forget some important things in our lives. Sometimes we forget the tremendous price that Jesus paid for our salvation. Think about it. If he had not shed his blood, we wouldn't have a right to the tree of life. And you know, sometimes as I look around in churches, we see a lot of things we do, even our worst. We're just going through the motion. So if we don't discern the Lord's body properly, if we forget the price that he paid, if we allow the ceremony of Holy Communion or the Lord's Supper that we celebrate just be some kind of dead form of ritual, we are worse than an infidel.
Yeah.
So we need to understand what Jesus did when he sat with the 12 and he took the bread and when he took the cup, what that really means. And not just go through an exercise of taking communion. Now the Bible declares, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe on the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved, right? But we know that Jesus' blood was shed for the remission of sin, but that's something we got to do. Even before we come to the table, we need to ask the Holy Ghost to search us. If there's any confessing, if we got any outweigh anybody, we need to have a heart check. See, God looks at the heart. I said, some of us might even need a heart transplant. Because God is the only one that fixes the heart. Jeremiah talked about that heart being evil and wicked. Who can know it? But he said to talk about, he'll give us a new heart. And we are born of, when we are born of the Spirit, we receive Jesus' Spirit. That makes us have a new heart. But you see, when we come to partake of the Lord's Supper today, we need to do our own soul searching. Because what will sin do? I'm reminded when God used to give me a little story. And he told me that one of the things, Carol, that will block you is unforgiveness. He said, just like your heart pumps blood to all parts of the body, because it's a pump, and blood is the life-giving source. He said, but if your blood vessels are clogged, clotted up, the blood can't go. If your heart don't pump as a pump, the blood still won't go. So if you have no blood going, that part died. That's really what happens to people when they have a heart attack. The blood vessel get blocked and that part of the heart dies. So now I'm talking about the spiritual heart. But until you get Jesus' Spirit, until you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be going all across the road. But when you get the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. Amen? You don't need nobody to do that. That's an inward thing. And he lets us know, if you have not my Spirit, you know what I mean. And see, sometimes, I know growing up, they would teach that certain people weren't supposed to take communion. Well, I'm not the judge of who take communion. But I think you ought to be able to understand when you take communion what it really means. We don't want you like Paul. We don't want you to be ignorant of Satan's device, because Satan will think you all this and that, not realizing truly what Jesus did. But I need to tell you, here at CLLC, we sincerely and passionately believe that Jesus is that Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, that he is our Passover. He is without spot or blemish. He is our substitute. That he is God among us. That his body was broken for us. His blood was shed for the remission of sin. That in him and through him, for him and by him alone is there forgiveness of sin. The Bible said there's no way to the Father except you come through Jesus Christ. He is a mediator of a better covenant. See, the old covenant and the law couldn't do what Jesus did. If it could, Jesus wouldn't have to come. And Jesus came and he walked the earth. And when he would talk to his disciples, and he began to tell them that I must go away. They got really sad. But he said, it's expedient that I go. And if I go, I'll see the Holy Ghost. And one thing about the Holy Ghost, he will dwell with you. He'll be a keeper. He'll lead you. He'll guide you into all truth. So today, as we take that heart kick, ask the Holy Ghost to bring to your mind anything that will block you today, anything that will be like unforgiveness. In fact, the Bible tells us if we got an ought with our brother, we need to go to him even before we bring our gifts. But not only that, the Holy Ghost will convict you of sin. Sin is what separates us from God. God don't like sin. He can't look on it. He hates sin. But thanks be to God, he loved the sinner, which you and I was. By faith and grace through Jesus Christ, his amazing grace, we could be saved. So today, when we take Holy Communion, I want you to remember what Jesus did. I might think sometimes I feel like I've been crucified, but that's just my little feeling. But Jesus was crucified. They put him on a cross. They put nails in. I can imagine he was in total agony. I could see the blood come stringing him down. And even as he was there on that cross, just think about it. He did it for you. He did it for me. And it doesn't matter. He's no respecter of person. Anybody that accepts Jesus as the Lord and Savior have the right to come to the table today. But I need to tell you, for you come and partake of these elements, the bread and the cup, which is symbolic of his body, which is symbolic of his blood, you need to do just what the word say. Take self-examination. God said, I have prepared a table and I want my people to come and eat. But we can come to the table and get it right. You may not be crossing every T and dotting every I, but you can come to the table today and you can make it all right. Somebody said, I need to have a little talk with Jesus and he'll make everything all right. But see, we want Jesus to do everything. We have a part to do this. So we need to let the Holy Ghost take control. We need to let the Holy Ghost have its way today and bring to our minds as we take self-examination. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm about to go to my seat, but you need to remember that Jesus shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, that could be no remission of sin. And see, when this reader sang that song, it stirred me up, because the blood, that precious blood, will never lose its power. And one thing that's true about blood, naturally and spiritually, is the life of anything. If your blood stops flowing in your body, that part's dying. If you don't have the blood of Jesus being covered by his blood, you're dead and trespassing in your sins. But see, since we got Jesus as our mediator, and we got Jesus as our advocate, we don't have to worry about it. Because he is our Passover. When God looks at us, he looks at his righteousness. Jesus has become our righteousness. The blood would never lose its power. All saints used to say, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that saved me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross.
Yeah.
I know it was the blood. When you think about it, just know that Jesus' blood, that precious blood, that blood that will never lose its power. There's something about blood. Sometimes people fear looking and seeing blood. Sometimes blood can mean sickness in your body. But when we think about the blood of Jesus, that cures our sins. So, hallelujah. So when you come to this table today, hallelujah, come knowing that you can get it all right at the table. Because Jesus has already made provision for everything, every sin that is past, present, and future. But see, we got to do some acknowledging. We got to know, hallelujah. And then when the Holy Spirit convicts us, we need to take action. Just like that same sign said, warning, keep out. That prompts us to an action.
That's right.
He said, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This is a time to remember, lest we forget. So much going on in the world. And if you don't have a God on your side, anything's gonna go. Because the devil roaming around seeking who he can devour. So it's time for us to get it right. It's time for us to have a right relationship. It's time for us to let Jesus be what he is, Lord of our life. So you have an opportunity today to get it right. To get it right. Thank God for the blood. It reaches to the lowest valley. It can reach to the highest mountain. Whatever you're going through, the blood can cover it.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God for the blood.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know it was the blood that saved me.
That's right.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that can wash me whiter than snow. A time to remember, lest we forget what Jesus. He's the warning that Paul gave us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Take the instruction, do self-examination. He said many are sleeping, many are sick, because they don't properly discern the Lord's body. The Holy Ghost to teach you, to help you, to show you what's there. Sometimes we don't act like we're aware of what's going on, but the Holy Ghost knows everything. He searches the deep things of God, and he will bring to you the blood. We'll never lose this power. Remember that. It's time to remember what Jesus did for us, lest we forget. Father, I thank you. Thank you, God.